Christian friend is the person who is always giving rather than getting and demanding, because he knows that his true wealth does not lie in that which he gets.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
We're continuing a series of messages entitled The Molding of a Man, The Fashioning of a Man. The whole first paragraph of 2 Timothy chapter 1 deals with that particular subject material. We've seen already Paul, the apostolic servant, and how God molded him. God had given him a mission. He was an apostle of Jesus Christ. A mandate was by the will of God, and a message was according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. And then we've begun to unfold some of the insights that relate to Timothy, the apostolic son. First Paul, the apostolic servant, verse 1, really. And then Timothy, the apostolic son, and how God began to fashion and mold his life into Christ's likeness so that he become a usable and functional, utilitarian vessel in the hands of God. We saw there that there was an ultimate source of his fashioning, and that's in verse 2. Paul says, "You are my dearly beloved son," and he describes there the act by which he became a Christian, the act by which he had become a believer, and that was the first step, the ultimate source of his fashioning. That was the first step in becoming all that God intended for him to be. We saw also that he was introduced to a trilogy of divine attributes there, grace, mercy, and peace, and those were additional elements in the molding and fashioning of Timothy into the man of God that God intended for him to be. Then there was an unfolding source, not only an ultimate source, but an unfolding source of his fashioning, and that really comes to us in verses 3 to 7. And as I look at those verses, there are really four powerful influences over Timothy's life. In our first session in that section, we noticed his parental upbringing is defined in verse 5. Particularly the heritage of unfeigned or unhypocritical faith that had been deposited in his family and then in his life, and the powerful influence that that had over Timothy in making him all that God intended for him to be. And there's a message for mothers and fathers in that verse, the powerful influence we have over our children. And then we want to look at his spiritual friendship. And that's kind of a theme that permeates all of those verses, verses 1 to 7. His spiritual friendship, that friendship that he found in the Apostle Paul. So his spiritual friendship was a very significant facet in the molding and fashioning of his life. I would suggest that after our parents, it is our friends who influence us the most. We don't realize sufficiently how powerful an influence friendship is. And I don't think we properly realize how responsible to God we are for this entity we call friendship. It is a powerful influence in our lives, and we are responsible to be good stewards of it, to function as good friends toward others, and to be very careful about those friends that we integrate into our lives. What kind of a friend was Paul to Timothy? What kind of friends ought we to be in our Christian experience? What are the marks of true friendship that ought to characterize us? Could I give you just several that kind of arise out of this text here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 2 to 7? Several marks of true friendship that ought to characterize us. They characterize the kind of friend that Paul was. And it had a powerful effect. It produced a Timothy. And if we could become these kinds of friends, if we could develop these facets of biblical friendship in our own lives, we could begin to produce some Timothys and have a powerful effect for the glory of God and for the good of others. Now, may I list just several things that I consider to be marks of true friendship that grow out of 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 2 to 7. First of all, let me say this. Paul had an evangelical spirit. Paul had an evangelical spirit. Now, I know that term evangelical is a very elastic term in our day and age, but I'm going back to its original usage. By that, I mean that he used his friendships as a vehicle, as a tool through which he could propagate the evangel. The evangel is the good news about Jesus Christ, the fact that he died for our sins, that he assumed our penalty on the cross of Calvary, that he is immediately accessible to any man who will by faith receive him as Lord and Savior. And Paul always used his friendships as a vehicle, a tool for communicating the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the spirit of the Apostle Paul. He had an evangelical spirit. Secondly, I would say this is a second mark of true friendship. Paul had a thankful spirit. Do you notice he says in verse 3, I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience. I thank God. Now, that, I think that's not an incidental statement. Paul had a thankful spirit. I thank God. You know, a sour disposition. Ever met anybody with a sour disposition? A disposition devoid of the spirit of gratitude. The most graceless of all sins is the spirit of ingratitude, unthankfulness. If you have a thankless spirit, you will have a disastrous effect on the people in your world of influence. You'll be no true friend. You'll never meet their needs as God intends for you to meet those needs. Have you ever thought about an unthankful spirit? You know, there are two fountain sins of unregenerate mankind. They're defined in Romans 1:21. There are two fountain sins of unregenerate mankind. One, they are unworshipful. They glorified him not as God. Two, they are unthankful. Neither were they thankful. The two fountain sins of unregenerate humanity, unsaved humanity, is one, they are unworshipful. They glorified him not as God. Two, they are unthankful. Neither were they thankful. Do you know, in the face of God's being, some men are unworshipful. And in the face of God's benefits and beneficence, some men are unthankful. And sometimes that spirit creeps right into the experience of New Testament Christians. They have a complaining, bickering, criticizing, slanderous spirit. They spew venom and bitterness instead of love and thankfulness. And when they do, they can be sure that they will have a disastrous effect on those around them. They will not build up. They will tear down. They will not produce edification. They will produce destruction in the lives of those around them. That is precisely what Paul was not. Incidentally, you know, the Bible says that we are to give thanks in everything. Do you know what we're really saying when we refuse to give thanks? We're really questioning three things in the anatomy of God, three things in the nature of God when we're unthankful. One, we're questioning God's authority. God, you have no right to do this to me. God, you have no authority to allow this to happen to me. We're questioning God's authority when we refuse to say thanks for those pressures, those difficulties that God may allow to come into our lives. We question God's authority. Two, we question God's wisdom. God, don't you know what's going on down here? Don't you know how difficult my circumstances are? Don't you feel the pressure that I feel? Is there something that's missing in your mind and your plan for me? We question God's wisdom. We might even go so far as to say that we question God's love. God, don't you even care what's happening to me? Don't you love me anymore? That's what we're questioning when we have an unthankful spirit. That is the fountain sin of unregenerate humanity. They were unworshipful, they were unthankful, and no Christian should ever allow a spirit of ingratitude and thanklessness to permeate their spirit. If they do, they'll have a disastrous result on those they seek to influence. Paul had an evangelical spirit. He was burdened to propagate the gospel to his world of influence. Paul had, secondly, a thankful spirit. I thank God. Thirdly, and these are the marks of true friends, Paul had a servant spirit. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers. Paul always had a servant spirit. He was not like one of those clinging vines. It's amazing how these things begin to work out in the development of relationships and friendships. It can happen in a local church. Some of you may be experiencing some of these very things. He was not one of those clinging vines who are always demanding and never giving. That spirit will destroy true friendship. The Christian friend is the person who is always giving and never demanding. The Christian friend is the person who is always giving rather than getting and demanding, because he knows that his true wealth does not lie in that which he gets or that which he hoards, but his true wealth, those who are truly wealthy, those who have the blessing of the Lord upon them and who have been made rich, his true wealth lies not in what he gets, but in what he gives away. He gives himself. And then he shares Christ. He gives Christ away. He shares with others who need it, the bread of life. We know what a servant is. We've defined it in other sessions. A servant is one who is all excited about helping others to become successful, which means helping them to achieve God's goals for their lives, helping them to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then to become like the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Paul had a servant spirit. And then Paul, fourthly, this is the fourth mark of a true friend. Paul had a sincere spirit. The Bible says that he served God from his forefathers with a pure conscience. Now that's a powerful statement. We shouldn't pass over it. He served God from his forefathers with a pure conscience, with sincerity, with purity, with cleanness of motivation. Paul's service to God and his friendship to men was not contaminated. It was not polluted with ulterior or impure motivations. He sincerely, purely wished to be a blessing to other people. He had no hidden motives or subtle objectives. He wanted to give himself selflessly to meet the needs of other people. You know, a clear conscience, a pure conscience, is a powerful thing, and it's a biblical thing. Do you know what a clear conscience is? A clear conscience is the inner freedom that comes from knowing that God's holiness is not offended by my thoughts, my words, my actions, my attitudes, or my motivations. Did you know that those are the five areas that you and I are held responsible before God? Our thoughts, our words, our actions, our attitudes, and our motives. A clear conscience is that inner sense of freedom that comes from knowing that God's holiness is not offended by my thoughts, words, actions, attitudes, or motivations. And it comes from knowing that no one can point a finger at me and say, "You have offended me and you have never sought to make it right." It means that I can pillow my head at night and look up into the face of God and quietly go to sleep in peace. It means I can shake my brother's hand, my sister's hand, and look them in the eye and not at the floor. It's a powerful statement. Paul said, "Herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men."
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.